Right. Hopefully people get a chance to look at the Mishnah Berura. The Mishnah Berura does a very, very nice job. He doesn't need my endorsement of summarizing the acronym. And we're going to try to, maybe even skip over some of the less central details and just get the main point. Tough knowledge. Kedera shal cheresh and ishtavzim chomets kol ashana. So chomets de cheresh kelem. Afilo osum shosum am daisos amine kemachim. Even if you actually use them for chomets be'en, like for types of hot cereals and flour. Mishavshvan heite ve'inish lo yechomets nikr. V'hem avortu shosum la'afar pesel l'shavshvan bein v'mino bein shalov v'mino. What's the chiddush? Even though we know you can't kasher kli cheresh. Right? That's how do we know you can't kasher kli cheres? Because the Torah says, the Torah talks about kashering kelim twice. Once in Parshat Tzav, when it comes to the kelim of karbanos, and it says, everyone knows what it says in the Chumash, right? If it's a kli cheres, you have to break it. If it's a kli nechoshes, you have to do hagamah. So that is it. And then in another place, when it talks about the kelim from Midian, the trade kelim from Midian, it doesn't mention kli cheres at all, but because in Parshat Tzav, but in contrast, kli cheres with kli nechoshes, it says the kli nechoshes has to be kashered with hagalah, and the kli cheres has to be broken, even though the Torah doesn't exactly say why, and it's a bit of a gzeiras hakasuv. Nonetheless, Chazal learned from here that hatorah hi'idah al kli cheres and yotum di'idah freely olam, that the Torah he was made, you can't kasher kli cheres through hagalah. So what do you do with a kli cheres? So the answer is, the kula here is, you're allowed to scrub it well, as long as you don't see any chametz dirt on them, and then leave them till after Pesach, and use them after Pesach. Okay, there's a big machlokas amoraim in Daf Lamed, I think it is in Masechet Pesachim, but you can just leave them, meaning you don't have to sell them over Pesach, right? Even though nowadays, in all the shtaros it says, we sell all the chametz that's balua in the kelim, that's not really the halacha. The halacha is, you can just leave them, and you don't have to worry about it. why isn't there a problem of Valyura Valyumatze? There's Chametz Valu in them. The answer is, because Valyura Valyumatze is only things that are Nimtza, that are accessible, that you can actually, find and go, even if they're not visible, but you could, you know where they are, and you could, or they're in your house, and you could uncover them and actually access them. The Chametz says Valu in the Kalim, since it's not actually accessible, it's not a problem by the way, but and you can just leave them and use it after Pesach. But what about, and there's no Chametz Shabbat on Pesach, there's no by the way, they remain totally kosher. But what if you forget and use them on Pesach? So the Chaver says, you have to put them away in Pesach in a hidden place where you don't usually go. That's why nowadays people put them in cabinets and tape the cabinets. It's the same basic idea. Or in his days, you just like put them in a room of your house, that's the back of your machsan where you never go. So you don't actually use them on Pesach. And the best thing to do would be to put them away in a room or a closet or something and turn the key, lock the key, and take the key out and put it someplace else. That way, for sure, there's no chance that you'll accidentally use them there's no chance that you'll use them on Pesach. That's why the minhag, I think, in all the households nowadays, is that you don't just put them in a closet and put a tape and write chametz on them. You put them in a closet and you tape the closet shut. That way it's not quite as good as hiding the key, but also it's not just like a reminder that it's chametz when you try to open the closet. You'll see this tape shut, and then you'll remember that it's chametz stick.
But isn't it nimtza, since if you were to cook something in it, the flavors would come out into it, and that would be chametz?
No, so the Rishonim, they're going to explain that that's not on the Darga, that's called nimtza. I mean, at a certain point, it's just a matter of, what's called what.
Even more than that, that's a shirin value.
What?
There's a shirin value of a value process. This is not a shirin.
Okay, but even less than a shirin might be also a chachila. But Lamaisa, the Mishra quotes that it's, we call this not nimtza. There's a whole discussion here in the poskim. Some people have decorative kelim. So can you hang the decorative kelim on your wall? Well, obviously not. You might take them and use them during Pesach.
You haven't used them.
What? No. Decorative kelim that you use. Right. So if they're purely decorative, you don't use them. Of course, they're new kelim. They're Pesach thing. But can you hang them high up on the wall where it's out of arm's reach, so you won't use them during Pesach? And conversely, can you hang the decorative Pesach kelim all year long high up out of arm's reach, where you won't use them? And that's based on what we learned last year, those who are from our last year, that when Chazal made the gzeira against reading the candlelight on Shabbos, when they make their gzeira, they make a low plug, even if it's high up out of arm's reach. And that's a big, That's a big machlokas achronon lemaisa. The Bach Asers and the Taz Asers, the Magen Avraham Asers, and the Mishnah Berurah says strictly a lot of people did this, and it's okay because A, it's out of arm's reach, and B, it's Eina Ben Yomo anyway. In general, these Kalim were Eina Ben Yomo, you didn't use them every 24 hours, and therefore, even if you did use them, it would be Eina Ben Yomo. And therefore, he says, Mamar Tovel Bracha, better to avoid, but those who do it, it is permissible.
Like whiskey bottles, people like displaying their own whiskey bottles. Are they chametz? But is it shri?
Whiskey bottles are certainly chametz.
So why do they cook the whiskey?
No, it doesn't matter. You kovash.
And don't pour it as well. So then
yeah. So the maisa, the whiskey bottles, if you displayed your whiskey bottle within reach, that would be awesome. You have to put away for Pesach. If you displayed your whiskey bottles out of reach, then the Mishnah Berurah says better be machmir, but mutter. By whiskey, it's actually a little trickier. It's not even clear there's a heterina ben yomo. Lemaisa, it could be by the whiskey bottles. Everyone would aser, because there's no heterina ben yomo by whiskey, because that only improves with age. And therefore, it could be that if it's whiskey bottles, you should just put them away and not display them over Pesach. That would seem to be logical, because the mekilim are only mekil because of eina ben yomo. Okay, continuing. Aval hesek, here's a little known fact that until you learn your dea or archaim, you don't know. The Torah was made, you can't do Haggadah of Klicheres. You can cash your Klicheres through Liban. Liban works for Klicheres. So why don't, in their days, all their pots were Cheres. Why not just do Liban to the pots? You can cash your Klicheres through Liban. It says, Aval Hesek Sheis, Nesi Yasika Ba'esh, Eino Molehem, Shom Klicheres Shetam Ibchamin, but doing a fire, putting them in a fire, lighting them on fire, filling them with coals, lighting them on fire, will not work for them, or for any other Klicheres used for Hachamates. Even if the klicheres were only used with hot water, and they weren't even cooked in, you just poured anywhere klivishut into them, adds the Ramah, v'yesh osur afil v'klisheni, even in klisheni, meaning a kli is treif if you use it on the barbecue. It's treif, and that's treif, chametz there. If you cooked hot water, it's even treif if you did eroi, right? You do eroi into it, treif, so up k'dei klifa. Says the Ramah, it's even treif for chumer de Pesach, even though he wasn't machmir when you were there. For Chomer de Pesach, Rama says it's even treif it was only used as a klisheni. Even treif it was only used as a klisheni. This is nothing with kasher and klicheres. This is like a side point. Happens to be in the context we discuss how a kli becomes chametzik. Eroi pashut, kli rishon pashut. What about klisheni? Does that make it chametzik? So the Rama says even a klisheni makes it chametzik. Because on Pesach, want to be machmir for the Rashba. Remember the Rashba in Kofei, who says a klisheni is bolea. Says the Magen Avraham, well, most Rishonim hold the klisheni is not bolea. It's only a minority view of the Rashi that the klisheni is bolea. So what about Bidyevit? What if you Bidyevit had a klisheni, and then you comes the klisheni and use it on Pesach? Would a Bidyevit make your food chametz that you have to throw your food in the garbage? So he's not sure, says the Mishnah Berurah here. If you look in the Shaar Tzion, he's a little, it makes it very complicated. But he says, you know what, if you have other tzadim lahakel, we can be makel b'dievet on klisheni. What are other tzadim lahakel? He says, if it's eino ben yomo, which most of the time it is, by the way, the assumption is, we mentioned this briefly, that, I should mention it again. For Sfardim, here, eino ben yomo, B'Pesach. For Sfardim, Motor B'Dieved. Of course, Motor B'Dieved. Anybody knows Motor B'Dieved doesn't have Lufgan. We mentioned once that for Ashkenazim, it's in maybe Tav Samach Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. For Ashkenazim, it is Osir B'Dieved. Ashkenazim are Machra and Pesach, since it's Nisr Mashim, there's no Bittel on Chavitz on Pesach. There's not even Bittel Nosin Tam Lufgan. You know, if you close the windows, we'll just turn this on. That way it'll be comfortable. Is that? Oh, hold on. Forget it, doesn't work. Okay. Now, the Ashkenazim say, Eino ben yomo is asur on Pesach. Halacha l'maaseh, if you're Ashkenazic, you just take eggs in a chametzik pot that hasn't been used for 2 months, and you cook potatoes on Pesach. Those potatoes are chametzik. They have to go straight to the garbage. Because Ashkenazim recommend Eino ben yomo on Pesach, but it's a tzad lahakel, and we'll see throughout the Achronim, and especially the Mishnah Berurah and Tafton Aleph, a lot of borderline cases where Mekel b'dieved, b'tseir of Eino ben Yomo.
Why is the Asher Mashu affecting Eino ben Yomo?
because we discussed this lumbus a little in Siman Kuf Gimel, so it could be the way Ein HaBinyan works, well, Ein HaBinyan was Motzer's Nosen Tam Lufgam. Could be the way Nosen Tam Lufgam works is that it's considered like not a real Ta'am, and therefore it's Batal. Whatever, less than a Ta'am is Batal. So it's considered less than a Ta'am, but it might still be using the mechanism of Bittal. That's what we saw in the name of the Rashba, if you recall. So, Lemaitse, this one of the cases, says in the Mishnah Berurah, Klisheni plus Eino Ben Yomo plus Hapsid Meruba or Simchas Yontif or Bittel Simchas Yontif. It's expensive, or otherwise you wouldn't have good food in Yontif. He says that's a heter b'dieved if you use something that's only Klisheni. In the Shartzion, he says, well, what if you'd have two of those factors? Like, let's say Klisheni and Ben Yomo, but it wasn't Hapsid or Klisheni and Hapsid Meruba, and it's Ben Yomo. That's a rare case. And then he brings out Machlokes Achronim Tzarich Iyun, and you have to see what to do in each case if you can make do with less than this. But we see that Klisheni, even B'dieved, only with many other Sodom Lahakel, will be totally comfortable being Mekam. Okay, let's get back to our topic of how to kasher Klicheres. So he says, can you do Liban to a Klicheres? Klicheres, Liban works for Klicheres. That's a fact. It's Mefurish and Moran Psachim. There's no two ways about it. Liban works for Klicheres. So in the old days, when their pots were Klicheres, why didn't they just do Liban to all them? So he explains, even if you fill it with coals, it still won't help. The chashina devachayis aleu jema paku la'avlu asaka ma'alya. Says, what's wrong with Liban for a Klicheres? He's skipping one step, which is the Mefurish in the Gemara. Liban l'Klicheres mahani. It works. But there's a condition. The condition is, it only works if you do the Liban from the inside. But only Hesek Mibifnim works. The fire has to be inside, not outside. When you cook in a pot, usually the fire is outside the pot. No, a fire outside the pot is not a good enough Liban. The fire needs to be inside the pot. So if the fire is inside the pot, so what does he say? What does the Gemara say about Klicheres? You can't kasher Klicheres with Hagadol, just kasher Liban. No, because Liban, you build a fire outside the pot, and a fire outside doesn't work. It's very pushy. So just put the fire in the pot. Normally the fire doesn't go in the pot, so just fill the pot with coals, light it on fire, and kasher Klicheres. What's the problem? So the Gemara says the answer is, so therefore what does this mean? A kli sheheseko mibifnim. A kli that you usually build a fire inside. Like an oven. The fire is usually inside the oven, right? An oven of cheres, that's discussed by the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. So it's mutter al yedei libon mibifnim. But most kelim are kli sheheseikon mibachutz, meaning normal use. This is not about normal use. Most kelim, a kli that's normally you build a fire inside, so build a fire inside and kasher. But a kli you usually have the fire outside, like a pot. Don't say, what do we say? E.g., for example, a pot. Theoretically, you could kasher al yedei hesek mibifnim. Just build a fire inside. But the problem is, if you don't usually build a fire inside, a stam kli that's not used to having fire inside is not strong enough to have a fire inside. Most kelim, we assume, are not able to withstand having a fire inside them. They can have a fire beneath them, but that's not the same as having a fire inside it. What happens if you build a fire inside something that's not meant to withstand it? It cracks. That's pucky. And therefore, but aser because of gzeira dilma chayis alei. You might, chayis is like, worry about it, good. You might worry about it, meaning you won't do a proper Liban. You'll say you're doing a proper Liban, you'll cut corners. Normally, we're not hosha Jew. A Jew is chesed kashrus. We're not hosha that you'll be lazy and not do a proper Liban because you don't want to work hard. But if the kli might break, or chosha, you might be lazy and not do a proper Liban, you won't fill it properly, you'll just put in a little, you won't let it burn so long, you won't light a good fire. And therefore, as a gzeira, the rule is anything that is not made to withstand Liban
You're not allowed to even try doing lead butter, even if you'll say, I'll try and see what happens. If it breaks, it breaks. No, we don't believe you, because we make a general gzeira that anything that might break, you're not allowed to do lead butter, and that's why you can't kashrut in cheris. Not because it's theoretically impossible, but because they were gozer not to try doing it, because you might cut corners. And therefore, he adds, umihu, imechzira lekimshim zitzarfno klicharis chadashim. However, if you put it back into a furnace, which is made to forge new pottery, mutter. But a furnace is mutter. A kimshan works. Why does a kimshan work? Why is a furnace okay? Success. The kavish machnisla has a gadol kazeh, but they lo chayis alay dimapaki abon turim shalanu lo. Because if you put it into a furnace, that's bigger than a regular oven. If you put it in a furnace, that's such a big fire that there is no way to cut corners. For sure, you're not cutting corners. That's like all or nothing. Once you put it into the furnace, that's it. There's no room to cut corners. That's a super duper fire, and therefore the gzeira doesn't apply. That's why nowadays, if you wanted a kasher kli cheres, there is a way to kasher kli cheres. How would you kasher kli cheres? Nowadays, you could either go to a pottery factory and put it into the furnace, or you could put it in a self-cleaning oven. Talmidim of Ramosha report that I've seen in either assumes this, I got Orcha, and I've heard this from Moshe Dover Temler as well, who I don't think consult with each other, that Ramosha assumed the temperature of our self-cleaning ovens is the same as the temperature of the kibshans. And for sure, our self-cleaning ovens are very heavy duty, meaning you can't cut corners on the self-cleaning oven. As a matter of fact, like once you start it, right, it goes by itself and the door locks, etc. There's no room for cutting corners on a self-cleaning oven. It is a really, really serious furnace. And once it's in, it's in. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, you could kasher kli cheres by putting it through a self-cleaning oven, if you so desired. Whether it would break or not, you'd be taking your chances. But that's exactly the point. Meaning you're taking your chances whether it'll break, and there's no option of cutting corners. So you could kasher kli cheres in a self-cleaning oven. I was told by Rabbi Tendler that he himself, with his own eyes, saw putting dishes, regular china dishes, into a self-cleaning oven, and that they didn't crack.
Problem that we discussed last time. The china is not pure kli cheres. Maybe the thing that's on top of it prevents the heft.
No, I don't think we assume that, because the fire really goes through and through. Like, if you put your china self-cleaning oven, it softens and hardens again. The proof is that he told me he once tried stacking two plates on top of each other, and they got soft and re-hardened, and the rim of the top plate made an indentation in the bottom plate, because like it's really serious stuff, a self-cleaning oven. So the fire goes through and through. Halacha l'maaseh, if you wanted to kasher kli cheres, you could put it through a self-cleaning oven. Whether it will break or not, or whether your oven will break or not, or what will happen, is not my responsibility. But Moshe David Tendler claims he's done it, like Rabbi Chu with very fancy china, you know, put it through the self-cleaning oven, you know, on a flat surface. You have to put something between it and the rack, or else the racks will make little indentations when it softens and gets hard again. So put on a flat surface, don't put anything on top of it, and you'll have to run it a gazillion times to get all the dishes, and it'll work. Okay, something to think about. Continuing in the Rambah, the only chiddush here is what the temperature counts of the kibshan. You might have said a kibshan needs to be 1200 degrees, but the Talmid and Rav Moshe have that even 850, 900 degrees, which is our self-cleaning oven in Fahrenheit, I apologize, is still a kibshan.
You could take it to a pizza store.
Or you could maybe take it to a matzah factory, I mean, they wouldn't let you. Or the pizza stores, sure, I mean, I don't know what they do at all pizza stores, but I know that a friend of mine has an oven, like an old-fashioned oven, like maybe an old-fashioned pizza stores or old-fashioned matzah bakeries, and his oven gets... No question it's 1,200, 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. That's like klum. So for sure you could put it in there and kasher it in the big, big, big hesek. So that would also be an option if you had an oven like that, which most people don't. I don't even know about the modern pizza ovens, if they get as hot because they use gas in modern pizza ovens and they're not really made of bricks. And sometimes they just you have to check it out. But the ikaron, if you have a big, big, I mean... The problem with those ovens is maybe you won't leave them in long enough, etc. Maybe the gzeira would still... you have to figure out exactly where to draw the line. But lemaisa, if you had a really, really, really good fire, then you could kasher it.
How long would you need to leave it in for?
See, self-cleaning oven, you have no choice, right? It's a cycle for at least an hour or two. Right. These ones, lahori, you can't just put them in for a second and take them out. That's obviously not. I don't know, maybe you also have to leave it in for an hour. So I don't know. Sorry to you. Okay. The kol kli hatzarech liban o hagala asur l'shtamish bo afi lutzonin below hechsher. Any kli that needs liban or hagala, you're not allowed to use even cold without kashering it. As we know from the Raman Kochav Aleph, this is referring to bikvias. Right? Ba'arai, you're allowed to use something for cold without kashering it. Just bikvias, you're not. Okay. Sif based. Kubya, this is a detail of something that's, I'm not sure exactly how it may or may not be relevant to modern day Kalim, but kubya was a certain kind of kli they had in the old days, the kli cheres, but a very special, strong type of kli cheres, which is a kli she'osu milavdenim v'afar, from crushed up bricks and dirt, v'ofen u'metagnim bo, and use it for cooking and frying, v'chein taner katan shikorin purlia, also that kind of small oven, heseko mibachutz, also left us bo bepesach, the ein chavishbo nifla bekach. Usually you put the fire outside it, right? Meaning, you don't build a fire inside these kelim, you build a fire underneath these kelim, and a fire underneath is called hesef miyachutz, the fire outside of them, which is not strong enough to kasher them. So it doesn't work. But if you would make the hesef yifnim, it would be okay. The chiddush is, these are special types of klisheris that are super strong, and these special super strong types, we don't apply the gzeira. Normally it's a gzeira. Don't fill something up with coals which doesn't belong there, because you might worry about it and cut corners. But these ones are so strong that the gzeira doesn't apply. So we see here, and there's no gzeira for super strong kalim. They had these super strong kalim in those days called kubya, which was just made of stronger material, and everyone knew could easily withstand fire inside. You didn't usually build a fire inside, but everyone knew it was okay, and therefore the gzeira didn't apply. The gzeira only applies to regular things, like if you would have a soup dish from China and build a fire inside, we all know it would crack. Or we all know it's likely enough to crack that we'd be that this room for gzeira that we wouldn't let you try this. Gimel. Sakinim mag'ilan bikli rishon umutarin. Sakinim, even though we saw in Kochav Aleph, remember we saw about treif knives, you need libun if you want to use them to kahad or you want to use them to kvias, etc. But for Pesach, like in the Vishon Matarin, some Afurish Gemara, that it's enough to do Hag'olah, and that is good enough. Uklivishon Nekor, Shertikwa Maimalesh, what's a Klivishon called? That you boil the water in that Kli itself on the fire. Afilin Atalaesh, Raksha Odrotech, even if it's not on the fire anymore, it's just still boiling, that counts as a kli rishon. What does still boiling mean? So that's a big machlokas. The Magen Avraham here is someplace here. Ah, Sivkat Zion is Makel and says, what does still boiling mean? Yatzo Letisbo. As long as Yatzo Letisbo, that's enough to kasher your knives. That's called boiling. However, we don't pass that way. Says the Mishnah Brura in Sivkat and Chaf, that boiling means malin reticha, actually boiling. Okay, like it's okay if you take it off the fire, as long as it's like right if you take it off the fire and it's still boiling. That's a we paskin, we assume yatsu lettuce bowl. You can't do agola in yatsu lettuce bowl, purely yatsu lettuce bowl water. Do agola, you need mamish boiling water. Okay, it can be off the fire, but it still needs to be around the boiling point. Okay, continuing. The code of Hagala Tzarech L'shufim Yafe. Before the Hagala, you have to scrub them or even polish them well. You have to polish them well with a grinder, a knife sharpener. That's the word. You have to sharpen them well. Over Chaim or with a mill. L'haver kochalud l'behem. Code of to get rid of any rust before you kash them. The rule is, this is actually doctrine for rusting in the Torah, that if a kli, our kelim don't have as much rust as they used to in the old days. We have better materials, but still, once in a while, you can get that. You have to get rid of the rust first. Why do you have to get rid of the rust? The standard assumption is because there might be little bits of chametz, like inside the rust, because little bits of be'en could get there, and there's a rule. Hag'olah does not remove be'en. Hag'olah only takes out blios. Hag'olah does not take out be'en. Obviously, if the be'en is stuck very lightly, the hagala will take it out. Put something in boiling water, it'll clean it a little. But be'en that's stuck very hard, or be'en that's stuck in a narrow crevice very tightly, hagala does not get rid of be'en. Since hagala doesn't get rid of be'en, if you have something with rust, there might be be'en inside the rust. You know how rust is. It's like very porous. And therefore, you have to get rid of the rust before you do hagala. the Mishavura says it doesn't mean discoloration. That might be related to rust, might not, I don't know, ask a chemist. That's not a problem. It means actual rust that you can feel that little particles can be trapped inside. Likewise, if it has holes and you can't clean it well, if it has cracks and crevices and holes and you can't, then Hagolah doesn't work. That's the rule, the ABCs of Hagolah, is if there's any cracks, crevices, rust, any place where even a speck of the N might be hiding, keep in mind, a speck of the N hides, and you use it on Pesach, Mashu is us, Isser Mashu on Pesach, trade up all your food, you can be eating chametz on Pesach, Chas V'Shalom. Therefore, Hagolah does not work for it. Levad v'tzarech libam akamah gumos, and what does work? Libam. Because remember the difference between Hagolah and Libam, we pointed out, Hagolah is machlit, gets the Isser out of the Kli. But it doesn't help for Ben. Libam is mechala, it burns the Isser. If it burns the Isser inside the Kli, it also burns the Isser. That's the end in the crevices of the Kli. What does Libam do? It doesn't remove. There is no means of kashering that removes the end stuck in the crevices of the Kli. However, Libam works because it doesn't have to remove it. It just burns it. And it disappears. It turns into ashes. Ashes are kosher.
What about treifos? If it's so small, do you say kashmisha
v'chefa? Aha, so that would be a tzad l'hakel, but l'chachilo. We don't rely on that. So that would be a tzad l'hakel. Normally, often, the eitzah that the post can give for things which have maybe cracks or crevices you can't get to that you really need to kasher is if you could be pogame it, meaning, and you can't do libon. So some of the modern day post can say if you can, like, get bleach inside and the bleach destroys it, meaning it's pogame it just as good as burning it. As a matter of fact, it's chemically, it's, I don't know, chemically, whatever, but it's similar. If you bleach something, hey, it has, you end up very similar if you had burned it. You don't get ashes, but it really destroys all of the properties of the item. So, this v'shas adchak, if one has cracks and crevices and one can't do libun, you could just leave on the cracks and crevices. But if you can't do that, it's impossible, then there is an eitzah to just pogame it with bleach. But if you can get bleach into it, but that's, you know, that's not ideal. Okay, continue, says Ramava. Nadan shall sakinim ein la tekana bagalava asher lahatz basakim pesach. The nadan shall sakinim is the, nowadays they have a knife block. In those days it wasn't made of wood, but it's the same thing. They used to make it of leather or something. Basically the knife holder. The knife holder, what's the problem? The knife holder is cracks, it's all cracks and crevices. What does the knife holder look like? It's just big crevices, right? And you can't clean them because it's made of very narrow holes for the knives. That you can't get anything into clean because it's too narrow. So the knife block or knife holder sheath, whatever, is impossible to clean because it's just a narrow, long crevice that you can't get clean. Whatever's impossible to clean, Hagolah doesn't work for you. Even if Hagolah won't help. And Liban, obviously you can't do Liban to this. It's made of flammable material. And therefore, you just have to put it away with the chametz. There's no way to kasher it for Pesach because it has too many cracks and crevices. The Mishnah Berurah also points out here that in the quotes from the Magen Avraham, the Taz, that a lot of old-fashioned knives, I haven't seen this as much in modern knives, but maybe it depends what kind you get, but I've seen this in very old knives, where you attach the blade to the handle, it's not sealed. There's like a little crevice there. And a crumb of chametz or a drip of chametz could get in between the handle and the knife, and the blade, and the place where the blade sticks in the handle. So in modern knives, I haven't seen that as much. But in a lot of old-fashioned knives, especially ones with wooden handles, you know, there's a little tiny crack between the knife and the handle. They say that also can't be kashered because it has cracks and crevices, and you can't do libun because the handle is wood and it is flammable. You obviously can't do libun to flammable materials. And therefore, you just can't kasher them for Pesach. Okay, a few other issues that come in here, that come into play here, is, three other issues that come into play here briefly is, number one, there's a famous chumra of Rabbi Yosef Tov Elin. Rabbi Yosef Tov Elin is one of the earliest of Rishoni Ashkenaz, and he is famous for writing many piyutim, including, if no one here probably says piyutim anymore, when you grow up, did they say piyutim?
Yes.
Okay, so on Shabbos HaGadol is the most important piyutim of the year, and that's okay, it's a sound judgment perhaps, but on Shabbos HaGadol is perhaps the most important piyutim of the year, because the piyutim on Shabbos HaGadol teach you a chazar, all the Shabbos kesef for you. And the style of pidyut they used to write for Shabbos HaGadol was a chazar of all the Pesach. Like Shabbos HaGadol drush was supposed to be. Shabbos HaGadol drush was supposed to be chazar of Pesach turned into the Rabbi Shalom of Lundus. And the pidyutim was supposed to be chazar of Pesach and turned into just mumbling things very fast. Which then, blessedly, turned into skipping them legamri, because, you know, it was not my point at that stage. But the Yosef Tov Ella wrote the piyut called Elokei Ruchos Kol Basar, almost 90% of piyutim start with an aleph, for obvious reasons, which goes through the entire Maseches Pesachim and summarizes it for us. I mean, not the entire, only the parts that apply to Zman Hazeh, not the Kedushin parts, but mostly the Rabbanim. And we all say part of that at the end of our Seder. We say, Chasal Seder Pesach Kel Chaso, Kachom Shvat Vidhu Gilsav, right, etc., etc., Zach Shochem Ona, Komen, Kahal Adas Miona, Chasal, Zach, and Komen is Chazak, remember, because in Old Pesach it has the Aleph Beis, then it has the author's name, and then it ends with Chazak. So that's the Chazak, and that's the end. What is Chasal Seder Pesach Kel Chaso? Kashe Zachinu Lasadr Oso Kein Nizkel Asoso. What does that mean, originally? Chasal Seder Pesach was that we finished on Shabbos morning, during Chazar Shashat, learning all of Hilchos, the Seder of Hilchos Pesach, right? Kasher Zachin Lasadr, just like Rizocha on Shabbos morning, Shabbos HaGadol, to be Mesadr and Chazar and learn all of Hilchos Pesach, Kein Nizkel Asoso, we should also be Zocha to do it on the Pesach Seder. The original meaning of that part of the Haggadah was just like Rizocha to say the Piyot on Shabbos HaGadol, we should be Zocha to have the Pesach Seder and be Mekayim, all these halachas we just learned. Then it got put into that God, then the meaning was entirely transformed, and it was given a new context. But that's the original meaning. So in the Piyut of Elokei Ruchos, he says a surprising chumrah. He says it's better to buy new knives and not kasher them. That's the big chiddush Yosef Tov Ella. Why? It's a havmin in the Gemara. But it's only the havmin in the Gemara. I think it was very Yosef said, oh, I buy new ones. They say, you buy new ones? It's very expensive. How, what am I supposed to do? He says, I didn't really mean buy new ones. I really meant that I do Libon, and then they wear baskins. Tachi, you can do Agola. So, it's only a Havim in the Gemara. So what's Pshat? Why does Yosef Tov Ella mention it? So this is a big, this is a big machlokes. Min ha-kotze la-kotze. Some people say, he didn't really mean to make new ones better. He really meant it's better to leave one if you can. Okay, and that's a big chumrah. On the side of chumrah, some people say, we see from Yosef to Elam that he really passes like the Havmina, we really pass like the Havmina, you should never cash for Pesach if you can afford to buy new ones. Some people have the chumrah never to cash for Pesach if they can afford to buy new ones based on Yosef to Elam. What does he say here? He says, V'apayet yasadim efshalas chadoshim heim meshubachim. Okay. So, therefore he says, it's better to buy new ones. And he says he must have understood in the Gemara that really the Maskan of the Gemara is, you have to look inside the Gemara, it's better to buy new ones. Halacha l'maisa, most Achronim understand, based on Rav Yosef of Elim, that he's making a chiddush, a chumrah to buy new ones, but his chiddush might have only been about knives. His chiddush was about knives, it's better to buy new ones, as the Taz says. The Taz says that, in Sifkatan, that it's davka about a knife. Why? Because knives you use all the time and they get very crusted on, and also a lot of knives have like hidden cracks and crevices that you might not notice. And knives, there could be a lot of possible mecholim. He also mentioned the fact that maybe knives really need libum, like in Yoredeya, so Hagala is a bit of a Yakula. Therefore, he says, in knives, there's a Chumrah that if you can buy new ones, it's better based on Yosef Tavelim. Again, shot of the Gemara is, that's just a Havmina, there's no need to buy new knives. However, Yosef Tavelim wrote, it's better to buy new knives, and therefore, the Achronim understand that Lahalacha, it's really better to buy new knives and to be more Machber in knives. Exactly why we're more Machber in knives is not clear. Maybe A, because maybe they need Liban, it's hard to do Liban. B, because they're used all the time. In the old days, knives were used more than anything else. C, because they often have hidden cracks and crevices that you don't notice. For whatever reason, there is a minig out there that it's better to buy new knives than to kasher knives for Pesach, based on the Peter of Yosef of Ella. The more meaty issue here is, of course, the discussion of the Rishonim, how come the Machaber Paskins This is already given in the Rishonim. The Rishonim asks, in Maseches Chulin it says to leave unto your knife. In Maseches Pesachim it says to Hagola to your knife. So what's Pshat, Liban or Hagola? What's Pshat, Liban or Hagola? So there are many different ways to answer this stira. I think we might have mentioned this last time, right? That Tosos has a machlokes between the Tam and the Rivam. Maybe one is talking about small knives that are not used on the barbecue, and one is talking about big knives used on the barbecue. Or maybe one is talking about Hetera Bola, one is talking about Yisura Bola. Or maybe one is talking about knives without cracks and crevices, one is talking about knives with cracks and crevices. Lemaisa, what do we say? We say, what are we paskin? We paskin that in Iser, from Iser, Happy Kasher knives, Yardaya Kuf Kuf Aleph says for Iser you need Liban, but Orachayim Tufnun Aleph says for Chametz, Hagala is good enough. Why is there a difference between Hagala, between Chametz and Iser, in terms of knives? So, here it's not 1,000,000% clear, but the Mishnah Brura says here, says the Mishnah Brura, why? Because Chametz, we remembered, there was a Shita, the Balitosos and others, and the Raivin and others, that Chametz is called Hetera Bala. And in Hetera Bala, you could always use Hagala instead of Liban. So says the Mishnah Brura, it's a Seira of two Manda Omers. Manda Omer that Chametz is Hetera Bala. If Chametz is Hetera Bala, the rule of Hetera Bala is you never need Liban. Hagala is always enough for Hetera Bala. And Manda Rov Tashmisho. We all know Rov Tashmisho, the knife, is not on a barbecue. Sometimes you use your knife as a spit to roast things. Sometimes you use your knife, you stick a roll, a hot dog bun on your knife, and you hold it over the campfire to toast it a little. Sometimes you use your knife to, like, move things on the barbecue. Sometimes you stick your knife into the oven and, like, cut something. But that's not the usual use. The usual use of a knife is probably off the fire. The usual use of a knife is off the fire, just in a Kli Rishon. Hagala is good enough for a Kli Rishon. Right? So you usually use the knife off the fire or with cold foods, but even with hot foods. Let's say, half the time you use the knife with hot foods off the fire. Then Hagala is good enough. Sometimes you use it on the grill. Okay, but we follow a Rov Tashmisho. So says Mishnah Brura, Bitseiruf, Manam Rechavitz de Teirabola, and Azlina Basa Rov Tashmisho, therefore we're makel that Hagala is good enough for a knife. This brings up a big, big, big machlokes, because this is a machlokes. What to do if you have a tseruf of manda amar hetera bala umanda amar rov tashmisho? Meaning, what if you have kli chametz Shev Rov Tashmisho Al Yidei Chamin or Kli Rishon, right, with hot water on the stove with a Kli Rishon. Umiyo Tashmisho Al Yidei Ha'or on the barbecue, on the campfire. So, in Sif Gimel, where we are, Sif Gimel Sakin. So, says the Mishnah Brura and Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger here, it's on the page, and if you look in the back, I think it's also in my Prima Gadim here, Prima Gadim, all the other Achronim, say Hagala's good enough. That's the principle of knives. Because usually they're not used on a barbecue. And even though sometimes they are used on a barbecue, we can go by Rov Tashmisho. Even if we don't go by Rov Tashmisho, maybe Chametz de Hetera Bala. However, the Magen Avraham here says otherwise. Says the Magen Avraham, he says, you know what? Really, sometimes you stick it into a piece of bread and then toast it over the fire. And sometimes you use it to cut the pies when they're on the fire. And therefore, it needs Liban. says the Magen Avraham, Liban, against the Shulchan Aruch, right? He's going against the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha l'maisa. What?
Demonstrate that it's more, it's not
mute. No, just sometimes. He's against this.
I mean, everyone agrees that sometimes he's not.
Yes, all the Achronim jump on the Magen Avraham. Halacha l'maisa, who do we paskin like? Clearly, we paskin like the other Achronim, and the Machaber Ramah, and the Ramah against the Magen Avraham. We say, Naiv's Hagol is good enough, because you have these two Tzadim L'Hakel.
And by these things, the authority search means that it's also because we have two tzadim in the Tzadokel.
No, it's not just we have two tzadim. The tzad of Rov Tashmisha was the Ikra did. If the Ikra did, we pass on Rov Tashmisha. We'll see. It's only the Chachila that we're machmir for Miyot Tashmisha. So that makes sense. If the Ikra did, we follow Rov Tashmisha. Only the Chachila we machmir another tzad lahakel on Dagel Chachila. Here it gets a little tricky. Gets even very tricky. The Mishnah Brura later on in Simkatan Memches is Soser himself. The Mishnah Brura later on is Soser himself. Here is one example. But this is, then you have in Sif Vav. There's nothing in the Shulchan Aruch in the Notes of Kalim in Sif Vav. It's only in the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura, Simkatan Memches, says explicitly, I will read to you the Mishnah Berurah Memches, this famous theory of the Mishnah Berurah, which there are many ways to answer, but the theory in theory, but none of them fit the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. He says, anything that you might have once used, sometimes used on the or, needs libon. There the Mishnah Berurah himself says libon. Being so ser, what he says in Sifkatan, in Sif Gimel, Sifkatan, I'll tell you which Sifkatan it was, Yudtes. Mishabura, Sifkatan Yudtes. This is a famous theory in the Mishabura, it's very difficult. If he wants to, he could have said something else about Zakinim. You know what he could have said? He says that, maybe they're talking about Zakinim you never use on the fire. Okay, but that's not what he says. He says, you're Mitzarfti Sutsam Lahakel, and Hagel is good enough. But in Sifkatan Memches, he says, if you have something used for chametz, only occasionally on the or, you need libun. So that's a very difficult, famous stira of the Mishnah Berurah, and that stira is left tzarich iyun. There's, I don't know how to resolve that stira of the Mishnah Berurah. Halacha lemaisa, I heard a new chumra only like 2 years ago, they started, saying, because of the Mishnah Berurah, all of our silver will be kasher or pesa. Maybe you took the fork and you stuck it into something chametz stick to take it off the fire. Maybe you had a hatod bun on the grill and you stuck a fork or knife into it and took it off. Maybe you had a cake baking in the oven and you stuck something into it to test it, whatever, although I think it's supposed to be a toothpick. Maybe you had lasagna in the oven and you cut it while it was still in the oven. So maybe all of our silverware was used al yidei ha'or, and therefore there's this chumra to do leaven to all your silverware for Pesach. But that chumra I only heard the first time 2 years ago. Until then, it wasn't such a chumra. It seems to me the Minhag HaOlam is the Minhag HaOlam is seems to be Hagolah against the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Memches. At least if we have things that Stam silverware, because Stam silverware, maybe you used it once on the fire, maybe you didn't, it's only a chashash, and not only that, we'll see, there's Elio Rabu who says, if you just stick something on the fire for a second, you don't need to leave it, only if you leave it there. And if you take something on or off the oven, you're just taking it for a second. So halacha, the Minhag HaOlam is not to be so makor like Mishnah Berurah Memches. Maybe you mamish had something you actually used for grilling, you know, you knew a percentage of the time, you should be more machmir. But the standard Minhag HaOlam is not to worry, at least for makom chashash, not to worry about the Mishnah Berurah Memches, and to assume that all of our things that we don't think are usually used on the grill, even if who knows, you might have once used them on the grill, that Hagola is good enough. So what I would say is the minhag is, at least for Stam things, is to be Mekel and assume that Hagolah is good enough. Okay. One other issue that comes up here, totally Agav Orcha, the Mishnah Berurah mentions here from Magen Avraham elsewhere, but we have to mention at some points, so we should mention now, is the famous minhag of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham brings down a famous minhag having nothing to do with Hilchos Pesach, and having negative to do with Hilchos Pesach. That, what's the famous chumrah of the Magen Avraham, the minhag? You're not allowed a kasher from meat to milk or from milk to meat. It's a famous chumrah of the Magen Avraham. You're not allowed a kasher from milk to meat or meat to milk. If I have fleshic silver, I say, I change my mind, I want to make it milking. I have a milking pot. I change my mind, I want to make it fleshic. I'll pee the Gemara totally mutter. Okay,
that's a big difference.
Okay, so hold that thought. So, Lemaisa Alpi, the Gemara, that's perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, it's more makel to kasher from fleshic to milchik than from treif, because it's a terrible. However, the Magen Avraham writes, it's a minhag ha'achronim, that you're not allowed to kasher from milk to meat, and you're not allowed to kasher from meat to milk. Why? Because we're afraid you'll get confused. After all, the guy will be cheap and say, why buy two frying pans? I'll only buy one frying pan, and every time I want to make meat or milk, I'll kasher it in between. Obviously, eventually, you'll get confused, and you'll end up eating treif, because you'll be hard to track. Is it today milchik, or is it today fleshik? You'll end up messing up. It's, even though it's a chumrah only from the achronim, which is not found explicitly in the Gemara Rishonim, it's a logical chumrah. And however, the chiddush is the low plug. You can never kasher from milk to meat or from meat to milk, even once, because we're afraid it'll lead to doing it many times and getting mixed up.
How many years do you have to wait?
So the Mishnah Berurah here, one second. The Mishnah Berurah here says the famous kula, which everyone knows. He says, this minhag is only in a stam case, but if you're kashering it for Pesach, you're allowed to go from meat to milk or milk to meat. So the minhag was only minhag not to kasher in a way that might happen all the time. But over here, it's not going to happen all the time. Yes, that's only once a year, and you have an excuse for kashering for Pesach. And that's the minhag that a lot of people nowadays have this minhag. If they have a pot and they decided, I have too many milking pots, I want to make it fleshik, they can't kasher to make it fleshik. However, they wait till Pesach, and they kasher it for Pesach, and then they're allowed to make it fleshik.
If you buy a gross package, and you get all this silverware, and some of it's milchik, some of it's fleshik, and you have no association with it, would the minhag apply at the beginning of the year?
Question, I think the minhag still applies. I think the minhag still applies.
If you don't have milchik fleshik, for sure you can.
What?
But if you don't have what milchik and what's fleshik,
if you don't know, then the minhag doesn't apply, because then it might as well be treif. Something's treif, the minhag doesn't apply. Meaning, if you have a milchik pot, you can cook pork in it, and then it's treif, and then you kasher make it fleshik, the minhag doesn't apply. Or if you mixed it up and you don't know which is which, the minhag doesn't apply. They also say wait 12 months, the minhag doesn't apply, because they have the chacham tzvi, to be mitzare. Basically, whenever you have a tzair flahakel, we're willing to be makel on this minhag. The other chat that the modern day Akronim have is that you can kasher to parif. You can kasher fleshik to parif. And then once you kasher fleshik to parif, you're allowed to make parif into milchik. But then that becomes a big question, where to draw the line. So the poskim are willing to be makel if you're stuck. You can kasher fleshik to parif, but you have to really use it as parif for a while, to be honest about it. And then you can move it to milchik and the gzeira will apply.
And if it came treif because you used the milchik pot, then you're allowed to fleshik. When you're machshering, you can machshering it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So halach l'maisa, that's a minhag mentioned Mishnah Berurah. The classic way around this minhag is what the Mishnah Berurah here says, which is to wait till Pesach time. When you kasher for Pesach, then meila you can make a milchik or fleshik. Okay. So these are very important yesodos in this sif. Now sif dalet.
We use Pesach as a kula, not Pesach as chama.
Correct, but it's only a kula to get out of a minhag. It's not a really yalpi din, so it's not a chiddush. Okay. Now the. Again, the Dalet Hay and Vav here, those are going to be the Iker Yesodos of the whole Siman. So Sif Dalet, Gimel Dalet Hay and Vav, really the Iker Yesodos. Dalet, Kehlem Shizem Shashem Ali Deha Orik, Yon Shfudim Askelos, Yotzim Ahem, Tzrich Libun. Kehlem you use on a fire without hot water, like spits and grates and grills, and etc. Need Libun. What is Libun? Liba means to get it so hot that the sparks fly from it. There's another gedder that actually talks about until the outer klipa comes off. That outer klipa coming off only happens to klicheris. gently. But mitzotzut nitasen, if you have a big fire on something, you see the sparks flying. If you go and you watch like a really, really big, a strong, hot matzah baking, matzah bakery oven, they make such a hot fire there that you throw a log into that oven and all of a sudden, sparks start flying all over the place. That's mitzotzut nitasen. Or if you weld something with a, not weld, if you use a blowtorch, everyone knows you use a blowtorch, the sparks fly all over the place, that's why you need special protective gear, etc. That's leaven get. It's so hot that the sparks fly from it. Again, the Sora from Rav Moshe Feinstein is that our self-cleaning ovens, even though we don't look inside to see if the sparks are flying or not, they probably do, but that also is on the level of leaven.
Sorry to return to something from earlier, but with the blowtorch, isn't that leaven very short-lived? Do you have to like hold it there for like an hour?
No, you just have to hold it till the sparks fly.
Uh-huh. So why can't you do that for your? That would break the china.
What? Well, towards the china?
Yeah,
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 for sure.
That shows you never use the blowtorch.
Anyway,
not on china.
My Masora, Agav.
Blowtorch, when it does to the oven.
My Rebbe, Rabbi Willig. If you know, he is a very, very big Chumrer, Rabbi Willig. He has two very, very big areas where he's macher in. The one of which is in Yanni safety. And my very willing, my masor is, if you're not a professional, you should never kasher anything with a blowtorch. Better to be makel on some of the machlokas aposkim than to use very, very dangerous equipment that you're not professionally trained to do. If you really want to use a blowtorch, then hire someone who is experienced and properly trained and knows how to use a blowtorch.
Which is what we did in the time that we were getting married, so the ovens were able to withstand the blowtorch, but the only one who could use it was a professional plumber.
Okay, good. I'm all in favor of that, as opposed to when I was in college and we had to kasher the kitchen for Pesach. Everyone fought over who would get to use the blowtorch because it was the most fun part of the job. So Rabbi Willig would not approve of that. Already being aware, familiar with some of the sheet is very willing, I stayed far away from the kitchen whenever a blowtorch was being used. And Baruch Hashem, in the end, either Shluchim Mitzvah Inu Zakin or Shomer Psalm Hashem. So it worked out. Okay, but anyway, that's Liban. However, and this, by the way, Agav, what Machlokas or Shonen is he mentioning here? This is the. This is Gufa, the Machlok Rishonim is Chameitz. Remember we mentioned this Machlok Rishonim is Chameitz Heterah Bala, or is Chameitz Isura Bala, right? I said it was Merum as a Kuchav Aleph. Here's a Beforish. If Chameitz is Heterah Bala, you never need Liban for Chameitz. There is no Liban for Chameitz. Because in Heterah Bala, Hagala is always good enough. Since the Machaber said here that Darsh Dashmish Liban or need Liban, the Machaber is Paskening that chametz is isura bala, and when I say the mechaber, I mean the Ramah as well. The Ramah agrees here. So we paskin that chametz is isura bala. Can we ever be makel based on the manda amar hetera bala? So the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Lamed Beis, he says, well, if you have enough other tzadim lahakel, then you can be. Then you can be makel, meaning. Let's say you kashered this with Hagalah, which is okay for the Mishnah to say Heterah Bala, and then you cooked on Pesach. So, says the Mishnah Berurah, Bid the Eved im Hechshir b'Hagalah v'Afa bo b'Pesach, and then you bake some big matzah in a Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah says, again, this is the, hold on a second, Mutter. In Haya Eino Ben Yomo, or Bimakom Hefsin Maruba, or Simchas Yontif, meaning three Tzadin Lahakel. If you have three Tzadin Lahakel, A, according to Mandarai, Terah Bala, it was kashered, but we passing a Surah Bala. But B, it was not Ben Yomo, and according to many Rishonim, if they ain't Ben Yomo, it's Mutter B'Dievet. And C, it's Hefsin Maruba or Simchas Yontif, only with all those Tzadin Lahakel together, the Mishnah Berurah is willing to be Mekel, and Mitzarif, the Manda Omar, and Mitzarif, the Manda Omar, and Heterah Bala. the just like we saw by Klisheni, meaning Vivein Ben Yomo and Hefsim Ruben Simchas Yontif, or Simchas Yontif, which are always equivalent. And another decent Sad Lahakel, then there's room to be Makel. Of course, for Svardin, this doesn't mean anything. Ein Ben Yomo is Mutter for Svardin anyway. Without Hefsim Ruben, without a Stun Lahakel. This is only cool, he says, for Ashkenazi. Okay, the Misbi, the Rama here comes with a tremendous Kiddush from a Mordechai and a Hagos Mamonios, etc. The Yesh Mekilim in Islam and Kolkach Shekach Kash Nisrach Alam Nechush. Some people are Mekel as long as it do leave, but even if sparks don't fly, as long as straw would burn on the other side, meaning you make a fire on one side, you put coals on one side, and it gets so hot all the way through. Obviously, this works best for metal, where the heat goes all the way through. But for ferrous, it would be a little trickier, but you could do it if you really tried hard. Maybe, I don't know. But if it gets so hot that on the other end, straw would burn. Straw is very easy. Nowadays, I guess we would say old newspaper, right? Old newspaper burns very easily. Easier than anything else. So, I've tried it. You make a fire on one side of something, then you put old newspaper on the other side of it. I don't mean it erupts in flame. Just it gets turns black and falls into ashes. That is called Liban Kal. Here in the Aaron, do me a favor. Liban Kal is just there's a little bit something a little tricky in the Achronim in the Mamre verses. What's the opposite of Liban Kal? What is real Liban called? So here it's a little tricky. Sometimes people use the Liban Kal versus Liban Gomer. Liban Kal, light Liban versus full Liban, Liban Gomer. Sometimes people say Liban Kal versus Liban Chomer, Kal and Chomer, the opposite, light Liban and strict Liban, or, you know, they're both found in the postgame, they're both okay, it's sometimes confusing, you don't know if you heard right, you don't know which is the right way, which is the wrong way, they're both okay. You can say Liban Kal versus Liban Gomer, or Liban Kal versus Liban Chomer. Liban Kal and Liban Chomer certainly is a nicer pair of words, because Kal and Chomer are always opposite in postgame, but either way is okay. Okay, or right, if you want to be very midoic. Some people say this Liban Kal is good enough. Some people say Liban Kal is good enough. Says the Ramah, the Nogin is very shona, the whole Dover, well, Shadina Liban Kal. And what do we pass? Shadina Liban. What do we pass? Do we need Liban Kal or Liban Chomer? So we say. That we need Liban Chomer for a Kli Shetashmisho Al Yidei Ha'or, all else being equal. Right? Meaning, the Iker Halacha is Nogin for Rishona, it's not just a Minog. The Iker Halacha is that you need Liban Chomer. That's the real Liban. That's what the Gemara talks about. The Gemara talks about the sparks fly until the outer layer gets burnt off. That's Liban. Do we ever rely on Liban Kal? So we rely on Liban Kal, depending how you count. Let's see how many. Maybe it's three.
Really no, two.
What?
When you really don't need Liban.
Ah, correct. When you really don't need Liban. Ah, then why not just do Hagola? So he says, when do we Liban Kal? Avobadar Shedina Bagola Rashish will stalk him if Kli Shedino Behagola. Ella, sheyesh bo stuckim. Stuckim are the same as gumos, crevices. What's the chiddush here? Remember, Liban had an advantage over Hagala. Besides the main advantage of Liban over Hagala, which is Liban is good for baking materials and grilling materials, and Hagala is only good for cooking materials, the other advantage of Liban is Liban destroys be'en, Hagala doesn't destroy be'en. So what he's saying here is Liban Kal has the advantage of destroying be'en. Liban Kal, what's the logic? The logic is Liban Kal is as good as Hagola, plus, but it destroys the end. The truth is, there's something you didn't say here. If you're just in the mood to do Liban Kal instead of Hagola, you can do that too. Let's say you found it easier to do Liban Kal than Hagola. You could. Liban Kal always counts as good as Hagola. And has the advantage that it burns the end. So if you have something that has agola but has cracks and crevices, just do Liban Kal. Like sometimes you have pots, and under the lip of the pot, it's like it's not welded together. There's like a little crevice sometimes under the rim that like things could see that drips could seep into that could get to have the end in there. So what do you do when you have something you were going to do Haggadah but it has crevices? No problem, just do Liban Kal. What's the other case? Osha Machmirim Labno. Sagit Liban Kal Kazet. Or Kli Shemi Iker Hadin. Sagi Behagola Ella Shemachmirim Lilabno. Meaning, any kli that the Iker is in, you could have done Haggadah. It's just, we're machmir to do Liban. Since we're only machmir to do Liban, then a Liban Kal suffices. Such as, for example, the very next line, Chatzuva Tzerech Liban. The stove grates on Pesach need Liban. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why do the stove grates on Pesach need Liban? Remember what we learned? The stove grates because it needs to be kashered? No. A, you only put pots on them. Blias doesn't go from the stove grate to a pot. Right? It only doesn't go from kli to kli without the liquid in between. And B, whatever falls in the stove grate gets burned up anyway. It's just a chumra on Pesach that we kasher stove grates. Since it's only a chumra to sell kasher stove grates, therefore it's good enough to do liban kal, since it's just a chumra. That's a great example. Chatzuva, says Sir Liban, says the Mishnah Berurah, needs liban kal because it's only a chumra. The ikar didn't. Stove grates don't need liban. So if you actually have stove grates on Pesach, let's say you want to kasher your stove grates for Pesach, don't think you don't have to kasher them because you use them for milk and flesh. You don't have to kasher them for Pesach. No, it's a chumra on Pesach, then you do have to kasher your stove grates. But since it's only a chumra, liban kal is good enough. How do you do liban kal to your stove grates? It doesn't have to be sparks flying and fancy schmancy, whatever. Either you cover them to trap the heat inside, and very carefully make sure you don't melt anything, delicate, etc., and turn on the burners full force, and that creates enough heat to be liban kal, right? Like if you put an old-fashioned Shabbos blech and turn on all your burners, those stove grates will get hot enough to do liban kal, but you have to be very careful how you do it, not to damage any delicate parts of your stove. Or... What? Okay, the tzad sheni here, if you put a dry newspaper on the other side of the blech, it would burn. So clearly underneath, the heat being trapped is even more than that, and so would be...
Where do you put the thing they want to kosher?
No, I'm saying if you leave your stove grates on the stove, in their regular place, you just cover with the blech to trap the heat inside. That heat will get strong enough that through and through it's enough to do kosher nisrith. But again... Don't try it until you make sure you won't damage your stove, because the heat will get strong enough that if there's any part of your stove that might get damaged, they could, like in the knobs and the things under the knobs, and so might or may not be a good idea. The other way to do Liban Kal is, even though the classic way to do Liban Kal is to mamish light a fire next to something, or in the old days you just put it in coals, right? You don't have to bury it in coals for Liban Kal, just to put it on top of the coals, and then as long as the side facing the air is Kash Nisraf, that is Liban Kal. Nowadays, the poskim say you can do Liban Kal by putting it in your oven and turning it on the highest temperature for an hour. I heard this very well ago, I just saw it, Reb Belsky, someone collected like the little Kashas words that he pointed out. And he says that, if you put your oven in the highest temperature for an hour, that is counts as Liban Kal. That's the same heat as Kash Nisr Falav Mivachutz. And now all the Kash organizations have that. So Liban Kal is not such a hard thing to do nowadays. Obviously, it doesn't mean you can do it to everything. Something will break if you put in the oven the highest temperature for an hour. Keep in mind, even if you can put something with food in the oven, it doesn't mean you can put it without food. But many things you can do Liban Kal by putting it in your oven the highest temperature for an hour. Now, if you put it through self-cleaning, that would be Liban Chomer. But if you put it just in the highest temperature for an hour, that would be Liban Kal, and that would suffice. And the advantage of that over Haggadah is that it would even burn away the little bits of the end that might be in crevices.
What needs Liban Kal?
What?
What's an example of something that needs Liban
Kal? Either something that needs Haggadah, but that has crevices. Like if you have a pot, and then you look under the rim of the pot, and you see there's like a little space there that guf could get in. Or something that needs Haggadah, but the chumrah is to do Liban. What's an example of that? stove grates, right? Where the Ramah says do Liban, but it's only Chumrah to Liban. There's no logical reason it should need anything. So clearly, it's only Chumrah to Liban. It's only Chumrah to do anything. Or, this is very important. What? For Pesach for Chalav, we're knowing to use the same stove grates for milk and not worry at all. It's only on Pesach we have a Chumrah to do Liban.
Treif. What about treif?
For treif, we're not. The minhag is not to be machmir. Again, if someone goes into a house and they have a treif oven, they can kasher and it'll be kasher forever. So it's probably it's kedai, but that would also, you know, that's not required
because it's not considered treif.
All right. Now, what's another example? This is a very, very important example that we're going to see later on in the Ramah. Very important. Kli sherov tashmisho al yidechamin. Umiyot tashmisho al yidei ha'or. Let's say you had a kli that's usually used for cold or usually used for boiling hot water, and sometimes you use it on the grill. We saw there a stira in the Mishnah Berurah, right? And we said, but we're usually known to be makeh. But let's say you had something that mamish, you use it 2/3 of the time, you use it for hot water, and 1/3 of the time you use it on the grill, and it really gets really baked on, etc. So you'd want to do liban to it. In that case, it would be good enough to, it would be good enough to just do liban kal. You wouldn't have to do liban chamer to it. Or another great example is, or, here's A, B, C, a frying pan. A frying pan. Remember the Machaber said frying pans for Pesach HaGol is good enough? So we'll see the Ramal be machmir that you need liban, but liban kal is good enough for a frying pan for Pesach. Frying pan on liban kal will be good enough. So there are many cases where liban kal is good enough. Agav, let me just point out a very important example of liban kal. By the way, Agav, let me just point out that the svara for liban kal being good enough in this case is very unclear. Most Echronim have a lot of trouble explaining it. Most Echronim say liban kal is just like Hagala, except it burns away the Be'en. So then, if there's a Chumrah to do liban, how does liban kal help? You haven't done liban. Like, you haven't been Yotzei the Chumrah. So it must be that, here, even though this is against what most Echronim say, it must be the svara is that your mitzare, the shita, it's a big machlokes I'm not getting into whether such a shita exists, that liban kal is real liban. Your mitzvah at the sheet that real liban kal is real liban. That when the Ramah says yesh omrim liban kal is good enough, he didn't mean yesh omrim liban kal is good enough to count as hagala, and some people say he can do hagala. No, he meant yesh omrim liban kal is liban. Therefore, since it's a yesh omrim that liban kal counts as liban, if something needed liban al pidin, we would be somech on the yesh omrim. But if something only means liban as a chumra, or somech on the ish omrim, that liban kal counts as liban. Why is this important? This is important, the issue of kashering ovens for Pesach. How do you kasher ovens for Pesach? So then the question is, how do ovens become chametz stick in the first place, right? Now I'm not talking about Talmudic ovens. In the days of the Gemara, how did your ovens become chametz stick?
Bread was on the side.
You stuck the bread onto the oven. If your oven was a baking tray, of course an oven needs liban for Pesach. So what would you do? You'd have to do liban to your oven, meaning fill it with coals and get it so hot that the sparks flew. And you could even do that for a cheres oven, right? So that if the fire was always inside, then it can obviously withstand the fire inside. Great. But that's in a Talmudic oven. Our ovens, we never stick bread onto the ovens. What do we do in our ovens? We put pots and pans in our ovens, right? We don't put food in our ovens, we put pots and pans in our ovens. So, and even if, and even if someone would want to warm up a challah in the oven, what do people do? They want to warm up a challah in the oven. They put silver foil, put another silver foil, right? So our ovens, why are our ovens chametz stick anyway? What's so chametz stick about our ovens? Our ovens, you only put kalim on there. So the answer is, why are ovens so chametz stick? A, the zeya, the steam fills them, and B, sometimes things might spill. Right? Things spill in ovens. That's why they self-clean the ovens, not for kashering purposes. To keep it clean, because ovens get dirty. So, that's why they have oven cleaners. Which, my Rebbe very well would probably not want to say, there are very, very powerful oven cleaners that are very useful for cleaning for Pesach, but one has to be very, very, very careful with powerful oven cleaners, because they're just as dangerous as blowtorches. if you're not super duper careful how to use them. So you have to be very careful when using heavy duty oven cleaners. Okay, now back to our regular scheduled programming. I mean, every year, unfortunately, there's in the news that some from person is ma'amish and pikuach nefesh, if not worse, cleaning ovens for Pesach. Or more likely, parent cleaning ovens for Pesach and not being mashgiach on the kids or whatever. Okay, lowly. Now, back to regular scheduled programming. So, what's ovens? So now, hold on, how do ovens become treif? Ovens become treif through Zeya. Hold on, but Zeya is like a liquid, right? Zeya is steam. Steam is like a liquid. A liquid is al yidei chan, and hagolah should be good enough for an oven. Or you spill something on an oven. If I spill something, I spill gravy on an oven. Gravy is a liquid, so whatever absorbs through liquid should be kashrut through hagolah. So our ovens, hagolah should be good enough for our ovens. And if hagolah is good enough for our ovens, then Liban Kal is also good enough for our ovens, which is why there are the minig of, there are two minhagim in terms of ovens on Pesach. One minig is to say you need Liban Chomer for an oven. So you have to have a self-cleaning oven, or else you have to put everything in a box in your oven on Pesach. Right? Or get a Pesach oven. However, in Willy Paskins, Liban Kal is good enough for an oven on Pesach. Why? Because an oven only, it's not for an oven 2,000 years ago. An oven 2,000 years ago, you stuck bread on the oven, needs Liban Chomer. But our ovens only absorb through Zeya and through spilling gravy. Those ovens only absorb through liquid medium, or steam medium. And therefore, you can kasha through Hagolah. No one's going to do Hagolah to an oven. But instead of Hagolah, you can kasha through Liban Kal, which means you can kasha an oven by turning on to the highest temperature for an hour. That's the psak of Rei Willig. Now, if you'll object and say, but sometimes a piece of bread might fall onto the oven and touch the oven accidentally, right? Wouldn't sometimes that you could see a piece of bread would accidentally touch the wall of the oven, or like a bereka would fall and land on the floor of the oven? Could sometimes be baking a dry piece of chametz? So the answer is, but that's only miyotash misho. If only miyotash misho needs libon, then that's considered only a chumra to go for miyotash, to worry about miyotash misho. And therefore, whenever only the miyotash misho is libon, Liban Kal is good enough, so Liban Kal is still good enough for the oven.
What about the racks? They need Liban Chomer.
No, because you don't put... It depends. If you put bread on your racks, then they need Liban Chomer. But if you don't put bread on your racks, you only put silver foil on the racks. And bread on the silver foil depends on your minhag. You're right. People who put bread on the racks would need Liban Chomer. I agree. But if you don't put bread on your racks... Yeah?
When you say miyotash misho, like...
Yeah, but if you put bread on your racks, then maybe that's even the rove tashmisho. Because if that's the only thing you put on your racks, right, you never put soup straight on your racks, so maybe the rove tashmisho is putting bread on them. Because I wouldn't count Zeya as a kula. So, anyway, but lemaisa, that's why a lot of ovens, we can kasher with Liban Kal. Where this becomes a little more controversial is, the reason this becomes controversial is, matter of fact, this logic is so stark that I wondered why a lot of poskim say you can't kasher ovens through Liban Kal. After all, it's pretty mukhrach. Like, we don't bake dry foods directly on our oven. So why should Liban Kal be good enough for an oven? So I discovered, I read Eider Sochet Pesach, and I read the footnotes, and he said, because, not gross ovens, real people ovens are made of metal, but inside, they're not metallic. They're coated with special resistant ceramics. Meaning real ovens are coated with special ceramics to keep them clean that nothing sticks to, or that it's very hard for things to stick to. Like special dirt-resistant ceramic. So ceramic is like a kind of cheres, or glass, which is like cheres of Pesach anyway. So therefore, since real ovens are not pure metal, they're coated with ceramic on the inside, the special industrial ceramic, nothing to do with ceramic that we see plates and mugs made out of, special industrial ceramic, that like the kind they use in NASA, that's like dirt resistant and that will not absorb anything and nothing will stick to and it'll keep it clean and nice looking and nice smelling, etc. So, since it's coated with ceramic, ceramic is cheres. And for cheres, maybe Liban Kal doesn't work. Right? Because if Lehman Kahl is like Hagala, then it shouldn't then it won't work for Ferris. So that's why Rabbi Eider says, Rabbi Moshe said, it's the machmir that you need Lehman Chomer for your oven, because of the cheres. So the best svar to be machmir in ovens is that you're right, Lehman Kahl would be good enough if it was metal. But since real people ovens have cheres on the inside, have ceramic on the inside, so you have to be more machmir. The svar for the Mekilim, Rabbi Willie's nonetheless make my ovens. He says, I think he has two tzavim hakel. I hope he said them both. Number one, this is special industrial engineered ceramics using modern science to be less porous and sticky than metal. Like, it's a specially designed substance that's not porous. So how can you say it has to do with cheres if it's something science has specifically made to be the opposite of cheres? I know it's made like ceramic. So one sort is that it's not a kli cheres if it's specially designed and invented by scientists to be non-porous. Okay, that's a little tricky for Ashkenazim. For Sfarad, that's an easier Sfarad. But for Ashkenazim, we're not wearing glass, that's a tricky Sfarad. But you could say, like, this is a new substance that made to be non-porous, so maybe even Ashkenazim can be makel on it. And he pointed out that the Chumas Maimonides quotes from the Re Bala Tosfos that Lehman Kahl works for ferris. Hagala doesn't work, but Lehman Kahl works for ferris. So even if it is cheres, Lehman Kahl works. So, halacha l'maisa, it's not poshut, but there are two dais by ovens. What?
What did you say before that the sheet of the Lehman Kahl is Lehman Gomi?
Correct.
Did
but,
you say that?
Yeah, but that's not enough grounds to be made,
y'all. Guarantee you were under the notch.
Yes?
Perhaps it was his mother's kitchen. They didn't use anything but blood to it.
Nobody
Martin. Willard was my roommate.
That is true, so because Rabosha was Machmer, no?
No, okay. There was nobody who Machmered. Everybody came, either they didn't, or they used the blowtorch.
Okay. Right, meaning if you don't use the blowtorch, what do? You put everything in a box inside your oven, or you get a separate grus oven for Pesach. That's what a lot of people in Israel do. They have a separate grus oven for Pesach. You know what a grus oven means? Anyway, Lemaisa, but there are shitas on this. That what about an oven? So Rav Moshe is quoted as saying, for sure it needs Lehman Chomer. Why does it need Lehman Chomer? Rabbi Eider says, probably because it's cheres coated. But Rabbi Willard says, I mean, he's not the only one. He's just the one that we know. Lehman Kahl is good enough. And even though it's cheres, it says that maybe that's not cheres. It's a special resistant ceramic. And B, the sheet of the Re, like the famous Re from Tosos, who says Lehman Kahl Mehani works for cheres. It's actually a fascinating question there. He says he went, he asked for Re Tam Zalmana, was your late husband, did he rely on Lehman Kahl for cheres in the particular style he had? And she said, he did not. But I'm not sure if that was his psak or that was mitzad precious, because he was machmer in everything more than the halacha, because he was always known for precious. We never knew about Rabbeinu Tam, did you? Rabbeinu Tam was known for precious, and he was machmer for himself more than the halacha in everything. So the Re said, well, I'm convinced it works halachically, and since I couldn't clarify my uncle's opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, therefore, the suffix what my uncle holds is not motzi from the vadai, what I think is the halacha, and therefore he paskin that it works. Very interesting just to see the characters there. You know, you don't usually see real-life stories that often. And the famous stories that historians tell about Rabbeinu Tam are always his crazy kulas. Right? Rabbeinu Tam and all the crazy kulas and all the stories about the crazy kulas, how he got in trouble for the crazy kulas. We know from this Chumash Maimonides that the crazy kulas were for other people, the Shasachak and for Yesomim and all their famous stories. But for himself, he was more machmer than everything he wrote in Tosfos for himself. Okay, very interesting. That's what his Zalman says. Therefore, she says, I can't paskin from his anhaga, because half the things he did were his shita, and half the things he did were not his shita, were just his being machmer on himself. Okay. So much for Sif Dal. Sif Hey. Kaim shenishtamish bahem bechamin kefita shmisha nechsherim. Kalim that were used for hot water, whatever the level of how you use them is the level of how you pasture them. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, not everyone agrees, but this is probably a mainstream opinion. He points out in Sifdalet, he didn't say in accordance with how you use it, you kosher it. Why? In Levon, Levon is to destroy Esser. In Levon, it doesn't matter how you used it. There's one way of Levon, the way that destroys the Esser. But in Hagala, you're not trying to destroy the Esser, you're trying to get the Esser out. There's many Madregas of Hagala. Whatever Madrega got the Esser in, that Madrega gets the Esser out. So that's why in Levon, we had a Machlokas Kalum Chomer. But no one said there's 20 Madregas of Levon. But when it comes to Hagala, there's many Madregas, because Hagala is not trying to destroy the Esser, it's trying to remove the Esser. And you remove things, Kabolo Kachpolto, the same way it went in. So that's the rule. The Achronim call it Kabolo Kachpolto, the Rishonim call it Kipi Tashmish and Hashivram. What does that mean? In Tashmish, Bechli Rishon, Don Kashim, Gizimo, Kdeira, Sarfla, Shivram, Bechli Rishon. If you use it in a Kli Rishon, like a stirring spoon, you cash it in a Kli Rishon. In Tashmish, Bechli Sheini, Hashir, Bechli Sheini. If you use it in a Kli Sheini, from here we see the Machaber is also Machaber in Kli Sheini for Pesach, not just the Ramah, then you cash it in a Kli Sheini. Right? Let's say something is delicate and you only use it in a Kli Sheini, you could cash it in a hot Kli Sheini. I know it won't be boiling hot, but that's okay. It's good enough. Uklisha mishamzo be iroi shema arim kli rishon lo sagli the hashav kli sheni al tzarich leros alam kli rishon. Something used for iroi. We know iroi is in between kli rishon and kli sheni. Something used for iroi. You can't cash from the kli sheni, but you don't have to put in the kli rishon. You could do iroi from a kli rishon on it. That's why, for example, when anyone with stainless steel sinks for Pesach, the stainless steel sinks are clearly sinks are clearly not. We'll leave aside one non-mainstream chazanish. Clearly not a kli rishon. You never put the sink on the fire. It's Eroi. You pour from the faucet into the sink. Therefore, how do you kasher a stainless steel sink? You kasher it be Eroi, because kefishtap cheshmishon hech sheiron. That is the general approach. We'll see some other examples in a little bit. Ramah, kala kelim sheishmam sedakim of gumus okaluda. Any kelim that have cracks or holes or rust. Remember, rust counts as a crack, because like things get into the rust, underneath the rust. Which is on the inside of the kli, and it's too narrow. You can't get into it to clean it out, so there might be ben inside. You can't do agola. Agola doesn't work for ben. I'll say this an eighth time, because it's worth saying it eight times. You have to leave on at the crack. You can do agola with the rest. You have to leave on the crack or the crevice. Even leave with kal is good enough to remove the ben, because there might be ben there. He says on the inside of the kli. What if you have a crack on the outside of the kli? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, it's not a local mystery tonight, it's just practically. Kalim, you only put food on the inside. If there's a crack on the outside, it doesn't bother you because there can't be any food there. But a kli where you also have food on the outside, like for example, if you have a ladle, there's food touching the inside and the outside of the ladle. So if there's a crack on the inside or the outside, then you have to kasher it. So he just says practically, if there's a crack in a part that touches food, you have to kosher it. If there's a crack in the part that doesn't touch the food, then you don't have to worry about it.
Almost all the time, the pots, the outside just goes.
Correct. In almost our pots,
almost every time.
In our pots, really, even if, let's say, there's a crevice between the handle and the pot, that's a pot, common thing nowadays, right?
Even with that?
Between the handle and the pot, there's a crevice. Then even though that's on the outside, since it always overflows there, we assume that the Rama would be molded, that's a problem, and you can't do a Hagala on that. Because you have to, that's what Shabur says. Don't say, oh, only cracks on the inside are a problem. No. Cracks anywhere food might go is a problem. All there are among men is a crack someplace food for sure doesn't go is not a problem. But don't expand that heter too much. Okay, here there's a very fascinating machlokas, or dion in the Achronim. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah points out, in Sivkot and Mem Aleph, that in Eroi, are all Eroi's equal? Or are there two different kinds of Eroi, one hotter than the other? Exactly. It's a Shvur Chomer Eroi, the Shvur Nifsa Kachiloch. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, whenever you kasher with Eroi, since things that get traced with Eroi, we're not going to keep track of what's Nifsa, what's Lo Nifsa, etc. We're going to assume everything was traced up through Eroi, Shalom Nifsa Kachiloch, through an unbroken stream. Therefore, he points out, when you kasher with Eroi, you have to make sure that it's an unbroken stream in order to make sure that it's a good hasher with Eroi. Again, the assumption being that whatever is traced up with Eroi or made chametz stick with Eroi at least once or many times had an unbroken stream. So, okay, that's important to know. When you kosher with Eroi, make sure it's an unbroken stream, which we would usually do anyway. So it's not like, you know, it's usually practically we do that anyway. Two other haaros. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah points out that in the Torah, in Yordea, brings down, he says, there might be two different kinds of Kli Rishon. I'll make three daros. There might be two different dargas of Kli Rishon. What are the two different dargas of Kli Rishon? Aleishana. There are things you put in a Kli Rishon on the fire, and things you put in a Kli Rishon off the fire. Says the Mishnah Brura, he says, this is a machlokes, whether they count two dargas or not, but he sounds like he's mach here. If something is traced up in a Kli Rishon on the fire, it has to be kashered in a Kli Rishon on the fire. Something was traced in a Kli Rishon off the fire, it could be kashered off the fire. But if something was used to stir a Kli Rishon on the fire, you shouldn't kasher it off the fire. You should kasher it on the fire. Halacha l'maisa, the modern day post can point out that preferably to avoid confusion and to avoid mistakes, you should kasher everything in a Kli Rishon on the fire. That way, you don't have any possibility of mistakes and you don't have any confusion. And that's the minhag nowadays. We kasher, and we don't start making dakas de chibukim and start making cheshbonos. We kasher everything in Kli Rishon on the fire. Except for things that you can't kasher to Kli Rishon on the fire. Then we think about how they became treif, like a sink. You can't put your sink in a Kli Rishon on the fire. So then we think, it became treif through Iwari, we kasher through Iwari. But most things are just putting a Kli Rishon on the fire, Shalom al Yisrael, and that way you don't have to worry about anything. And that's the proper practice. Put everything in Kli Rishon on the fire, unless it's not practical. Then think about what the proper level is.
In the Pesach, there are chametz.
Sorry, what?
In the Pesach, there are chametz.
We'll get that in Tufman Beis. Al pi ikar hadin, it could even be chametz dikli she'enu ben yomo, because then it won't make the water chametz stick, then it won't make the chametz stick. The chomer de Pesach, lechachila, is in a Pesach dikli. So if someone kashered in a chametz dikli that wasn't ben yomo, it's okay. But the lechachila way to do it, because the chumra de Pesach is the kasher in a Pesach dekli. A lot of people don't know that, but the lechachila proper practice is the kasher in a Pesach dekli.
Generally, from three,
then, as long as the ain't ben yomo kli, that's good enough. Okay. The one other very interesting machlokas, which is not in Mishnah Berurah, but which is in the later poskim. If you look, for example, in the Piskei Tshuvos here in footnote 64, he brings down from a lot of poskim. How many madregas are there of kavola kachpolto? What have we, or tashmisha kashir, what have we mentioned now? Kli Rishon on the fire, Kli Rishon off the fire. Iroi Rishonifsa kakiluach, right? Shalom sakiluach. Klisheni. What about other darkness? Like, for example, what if you have a Kli that was always used at 83 degrees Celsius? Could you kashir it at 83 degrees Celsius? It's not boiling, right? But do we say Kedeshmisha? I mean, do you say Kedeshmisha Kachashi run down to the very degree? Or only on the Dargos, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, etc.? Let's say it was a Kli Rishon at 83 degrees Celsius. They never boiled it. Do you need to boil it? Or is it enough to do 83 degrees Celsius? So the Piskei Tshuvos in footnote 64 brings down from all the modern day poskim. They say, well, Chachila, to avoid confusion, you should capture everything in a Kli Rishon on the fire that's boiling. But Me'ikr Hadin, if you know exactly the way it was used, then as long as you do exactly the same thing, that would kasher it. And therefore, they say, when it's you can't kasher something at boiling, it would be enough to kasher it at the same temperature it was used. This does not really apply to kitchens, private kitchens so much, but in factories, this comes up sometimes. Let's say you have equipment that's, it will break. It's not made to be used at boiling point. But you know exactly, it has a thermostat, exactly what temperature is used at. It's always used at 83 degrees. So, the post can say, since you don't have the option of putting it in, doing it boiling, therefore, you can just turn the thermostat up to 84, 85 degrees just to be on the safe side, you know, to avoid, like, subtle, you know, maybe it'll be a half degree lower because of some change in atmospheric pressure or something. So, and then you can kasher it that way, and that's what sometimes people do in industrial kasheras. They use Kedeshmisha Kachach Sheiron down to the degree, or at least within 1 or 2 degrees, just to not cut it too close, because the basic principle of Havela is however it absorbed, that's how it will be tolate, even down to the degree, if you need to use that kula. However, interestingly, the Piskei Tshuvos also quotes the classic question. He says, but what about the flip side? What if you made a pot chametz stick in... one second, let me make sure I got it right. In New York, can you do Hagol in boiling water in Denver? Why do I say that?
The air there is
thinner and the boiling point is lower.
That's why the planes can't take off after 12 o'clock in the noon.
So, okay. So, the poskim assume that even though normally we try to get exactly the same, boiling counts as the same all over the world, and therefore, if you boiled something in New York, you don't have to worry about kashering it in Denver. We assume boiling counts as the same as boiling everywhere in the world. So you don't have to worry that if you move to Denver, all of a sudden you can't kasher your kelim for Pesach anymore. The post can discuss that and said it's okay.
The question is, would they say the same thing by pressure cookers?
That's an interesting question by pressure cookers, because pressure cookers is more of a difference. I think he might quote there also, you have to look, I didn't bring it here, that even by pressure cookers they were makel. They said boiling always counts the same as boiling, which is a chiddush, but pressure cookers are the opposite of Denver. Denver has less pressure. Pressure cookers have, right, because it decreases the square distance from the core of the earth. But pressure cookers have more pressure. They just artificially make pressure, which makes it boil at a higher temperature. So can you kasher a pressure cooker by putting it into a regular pot of boiling water? So I think if we have to, we're makel. Although it would be better than just pressure cooking.
You also say it's not a problem because really the boiling point isn't like at the point at the core. It's the process. The same process is taking.
Correct. It could be that that's what they're assuming. You're right. And let's leave it at that and go on to Sifvav. Sifvav is a very big machlokes that we mentioned a gazillion times already. Rov Tashmishan or Riyah Tashmishan. Right. Here is a machlokes Rishonim. All the Rishonim. Svarad. Assume you follow Rov Tashmishan. The Abadai from the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah says, cups you used to drink from, you just kasher by rinsing them off. What if someone once put something hot there? Must be, we don't care what once happens. We only care about Rov Tashmishan. Pots you used to cook, you just boil up water. What if someone once used them for baking? You know, we don't care. You know, so they would die, then it must be we only follow the rule of Tashmishan. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you just go by the normal use of the kli. However, some of the Bali Tosos, half of them, Shoni Ashkenaz, were Machmir, that no, you have to follow Mia Tashmishan, meaning the most chumra way was ever used. So here's the question, right? You usually use something cold, but once used it hot. Do you follow the rule of Tashmishan, just rinse it off in cold water with soap, with a sponge, very nicely? Or no, since it was once used for hot, you have to kasher it with hot. The Rishonei Svarad and the the Ramah says right here, right? The Ramah says here that the Rav Yah and the Mordechai and the Tosos, the end of Avodah Zarah, by which he means the Machlokes Rishonim, the Tosos, the end of Avodah Zarah. So the Mordechai and the Rav Yah, it's Machlokes and Tosos, the very end of Avodah Zarah. Now, the says the Mechaber. Kol kli hokumach rov tashmisho. You only have to kasher in accordance with rov tashmisho. Hilka ka'aras afishal famishtam shem mitivishon ala eish came into rov tashmisho be'ir shemar ala mitivishon kachot sher. Therefore, soup bowls, even though sometimes you might put them, you ever notice sometimes people like put plates or soup bowls or something as pot covers and they run out of pot covers, or you might like dip it into a big pot and take out soup, even though nowadays that would consider a little messy. Even though sometimes you put them in mitivishon, since usually you just do e'ir, you just pour into them. It's enough to kasher them through Ivri. Okay, that's the principle of the Mechaber. And he clearly goes as far as that even if it's usually used cold and sometimes hot, you just wash it off in cold water and that's good enough. Right? That's Rov Tashmishan. What's the Svara of Rov Tashmishan? So, first let me add a Mishnah Berurah Mem Vav. Let's start with Svara. Okay? First Sfarim. Sfarim means Mechaber, right? For the Mechaber, we follow Rov Tashmishan. Add the Mishnah Berurah, and he's not making it up, even for Sfarim. Add the Mishnah Berurah, but there's a condition. What's the condition? Condition is that it's Eino Ben Yomo. We only rely on Rov Tashmishan if it's Eino Ben Yomo. Okay, what's the Svara? And that's going to depend on what's the svara. There are two svaras given in the Achronim, Mount of the Achronim, for this kula of Rov Tashmisho. After all, we pointed out, it's not so logical. Let's say I have a drinking glass. Or I have a spoon. I used it most of the time to eat cereals with milk cold, but sometimes to eat soup. So why shouldn't I need Haggalah? Why should rinse it off cold be good enough? It was sometimes used for soup. Remember the example. I use it every day for Cheerios and milk, and once for soup, just rinse it off cold. If I bought a new spoon and only use it once for soup, it needs Hagala. Why shouldn't they both need Hagala? They're both used once for soup. So we have two svaras. We have the Lundish svara, which is that Hechsher Kalim is a Zeras HaKasov, and therefore the Zeras HaKasov goes by the Chaloshem of the Kli. Zeras HaKasov goes by the normal use of the Kli, right? Is a Zeras HaKasov not a practical problem? Not that practically you're going to have a taste of trait or chomet, that's why you have to kasher. No, it's a Gezeiras HaKasov, you have to kasher. Once it's a Gezeiras HaKasov, if you don't fulfill it, the taste will be a problem. That's the Lundish way, and you just add, and the Gezeiras HaKasov depends on the general status of the Kli. And the general status of the Kli is Rov Tashmisho. That's the Lundish way. Then there's a more practical Hesber. The practical Hesber is to say, we're not just machmer to only rely on this for Einam and Yomo. The whole point has to do with Einam and Yomo. It's not just like we're more comfortable with Einam and Yomo because then there's less, we're not taking a chance. No, it's that really, Mida Oraisa, Ein Hochen, Acha Rov Tashmisho. Mida Oraisa, no such thing as Rov Tashmisho. But, Eino ben Yomo is only a Gzeira Derabanan. And they were only Gozer on Milsa Deshricha on the common case, which is Rov Tashmisho. Since Eino ben Yomo is a Gzeira Derabanan, why are there Abanan Gozer Eino ben Yomo? Atz ben Yomo. If you use a Kli Zayin ben Yomo, you might use a Kli Zayin ben Yomo. So, ben Yomo is what the common case, the Rabbanan only goes around common cases, the common case, the normal way it was used. That's enough then to be goes around the normal way it was used. They weren't goes around the abnormal way it was used. Okay, so that's a non-Lundish, the more practical way of explaining it. You can take whatever Mahalach you want. Either it's a Lundish Mahalach, which proves a certain Lundish nature to Hechsher Kalim. Or it's a practical thing. It's really midoraisa, no such thing as Rov Tashmisho when Rabbanan were goes there, they're only goes around the common case, not on the uncommon case. Okay, whichever Hesber you want, that's the halacha of Rov Tashmisho. And that's for Sfardim. End of story.
When you say midoraisa, you don't say achar Rov Tashmisho, you're just saying on a midoraisa level, you don't need Hechsher Kalim at all?
No, but meaning midoraisa, you only need Hechsher Kalim when it's ben Yomo, and you wouldn't follow Rov Tashmisho. Now, however, says the Ramah, the Yesh Machmir Lahagel Acharis Bekli Rishon, the Rav Yon, the Mordechai, one day in Tosfos say that you have to be magel all your plates in a Kli Rishon. V'chein Yom Minhag, and that's the Minhag Ashkenaz to be Machmir even for Miyot Tashmisho for the most chomer way it was used. V'chein Yom Dabar Sheish Loch Hashem Yisham Shom Kli Rishon. Likewise, anything you might have put in a Kli Rishon, going kapos, gedom ozel, like spoons, etc. The Yesh Machmir, not only that, Lahagel Kofli Shtiyah, which doesn't mean to show me. Even drinking cups, you have to kasher with Hagola, even though you only use them cold. Why? Because maybe sometimes people put hachamitz in them. Sometimes maybe people put a hachamitz to drink in them. The chenu minhag lagila, and that's our minhag. Meaning our minhag is to not rely on Rov Tashmishon to be choshesh. Maybe it was used a more chomer way, and therefore you have to always do hagala of the Kli Rishon because it might have been used for, or you have to do hagala, it might have been used for half, so it might have been a Kli Rishon, you have to hagala of the Kli Rishon, etc. But b'di'evet, it's enough you rinse it, it's okay. Right, so what does the Ashkenazim say? What are Ashkenazim saying? The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says, Lechatchila afilu miyot tashmishon, whatever was the strongest way it was used. Even if it was only miyot at the time, yet the kasher according to the strongest way it was used. But b'di'evet, he admits, then you can rely on Rov Tashmisho.
That he only said by the cup, the glasses.
Yeah, but the...
How can it be a din of b'di'evet? I asked you this when we discussed the last time. Doesn't make any sense. If they felt that this was the din of Mardukai and Avi Ezri,
What does it mean?
Okay. So first of all, let me point out, Mishnah Berurah Mem Zayin applies this to the Eved even to other cases, not just the drinking glasses. But first of all, what does B'di'evet mean? B'di'evet does not mean if you pasher it in accordance with Roth Tashmisha, that's good enough. That's not what B'di'evet means. B'di'evet means if you pashered it lifi Rov Tashmisho and cook food in it, the food is kosher or Pesach Dek B'di'evet. It doesn't mean B'di'evet, you don't have to kasher your kli the right way. It just means if you made food, you don't have to throw out the food, you can still eat the food on Pesach. But have to re-kasher the kli. So don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean, let's say you have a spoon that was usually used as cliche. So you kasher a cliche. It doesn't mean the B'di'evet is kosher now. No, it means B'di'evet, if you eat soup with it, your soup is still kosher. But the spoon, you have to go back and kasher in a kli bishon.
Do they say that also? Was it Ben Yoma?
No, only in a Ben Yoma. Only in a Ben Yoma. Which really, from our view, then not a kiddush at all, right? Because there wasn't a kli bishon. Yeah, so only in a Ben Yoma. Yes. Niyot means even once. Okay. So that's important again for Ashkenazim. Sfardim, just go by Rov Tashmisho Shalom Yisrael. Again, what does Rov Tashmisho mean? Some Nechurim say, yeah, 51-49%, then the heavy makeup. Well, that means you have a normal way and an occasional way. Then you could just follow Rov Tashmisho. However, for Ashkenazim, we have to kasher everything according to the most chomer way it might have been used. B'di'evet, if it was Ein Ben Yoma, and we hashed it in accordance with the normal way it was used. Let's say you didn't realize something was used more strongly, right? You have something you think it was only used off the fire. You kasher off the fire, and you cook all your with it on Pesach. And then all of a sudden, someone tells you, "No, you don't. You know we used it differently. We actually sometimes used it on the fire." Then b'di'evet, your food is still Pesachic, but it doesn't mean you can use the kli. Lechachila, don't use the kli. Kasher it better. Just means b'di'evet, the food is still Pesach. That's very important.
So why is the silverware chumra a new chumra?
So why is the silverware chumra a new chumra? Okay, thank you for asking that, because I realized that I ran through that. The classic cases of this Ramah, what are cases Ramah mentions? The Ramah mentions cases, let's say it was Rov cold and Miyot hot, right? Or Rov Iroi and Miyot the Toch Kli Rishon, right? These are cases Ramah mentions. However, one case Ramah didn't mention, this case is unclear. What if it was Rov Al Yedei Chamin, hot water, and Miyot Al Yedei Ha'or, through Liba? Why is that case less clear? Because in that case you have another Tavla Hakel, which is Heterabala. Heterabala doesn't help you for cold and hot, or for Iroi and Kli Rishon. It only helps you for Liba and Hagala. So this case is unclear. Sorry. The Ramah himself. This case is unclear. Again, I'm just countering what we said earlier. But I'll mention it. This case is unclear. Why? Because you have an additional Sabla Hakel of Heterabala. Heterabala is not relevant to hot versus cold or Iroi versus Kli Rishon, only to Liban versus Agola. And therefore, this is a stira in Mishnah Berurah and is Shaar Acharonim versus the Magen Avraham. All they put on Makel, because the other side of the Hakel, the Magen Avraham, is Machmer, the Mishnah Berurah is Soser himself. And that's why in this case, the Minigol would be Makel, at least in cases that were not sure were used for a long time, Al-Hor, that weren't used seriously, Al-Hor. Okay, one other very important thing the Ramah mentions here. Says the Ramah, Ugaris Gadol Shein Yochlach Nis Tokli Rishon. What about big trays and plates that you can fit into a Kli Rishon? How do you kash something Kli Rishon doesn't fit into Kli Rishon? So here's the famous trick. He says, Yitelim Evan Melulon, you put a white hot stone, a burning hot stone, because burning hot stones, they hot much more than metal or anything else. Basically, if you hold a burning hot stone there and then do Iroi, it turns the Iroi into Kli Rishon. Why? Because the stone itself re-cooks the water that you pour. When you pour the water, it cools off a little. But then it lands near the stone, and the stone re-cooks it. So the stone counts as a new fire to make it a Kli Rishon. Says, how do you kasher something that needs Kli Rishon but can't fit into Kli Rishon? You pour from the tea kettle while you're holding a white hot stone, and the white hot stone keeps the water hot enough that it counts like a Kli Rishon. And he says you have to move that hot stone over the whole tray so that it'll heat the water that touches the whole tray and make it into a Kli Rishon. The Mishnah Berurah has a big deal here in Sifkatan Nun Aleph, based on the Bach of Avram. He says, we don't really rely on the Evan Meluban to count as Kli Rishon. Evan Meluban doesn't really count as a Kli Rishon. Oh, what did the Rambam mean here? It only counts as a Kli Rishon when you have another Tzad L'Hakel, such as here, if something was Rov Tashmisho Leidei Iroi. So what he's basically saying is that, what is the Mishnah Berurah saying here? He's saying that if you have something that Rov Tashmisho Al Yedei Kli Rishon, then an Evan Meluban doesn't work. We don't really assume that Evan Meluban counts as Kli Rishon. We only use it when you have Rov Tashmisho Al Yedei Iroi Umiyo Tashmisho Bikli Rishon. Then it's only we're machmer from the Miyo Tashmisho. Me'ikra didn't be the Evan of Rov Tashmisho. We just have a Chomer Miyo Tashmisho. Then we can use it Evan Meluban to be Yosei, the Chomra of Miyo Tashmisho. But the Mishnah Berurah's basic psaki, quotes Machlokes Achronim, is that And Evan Meluban doesn't count as a Kli Rishon when you really need a Kli Rishon. It only counts as a Kli Rishon when you don't necessarily need a Kli Rishon. We're just machmer to have a Kli Rishon. Then an Evan Meluban counts.
It's not consistent. Why do you keep calling the Cheetah Ashkenaz that the Ramah brings in the name of the Lord as a Chumrah?
Because he says, Bidi Eved, it's kosher. And it's kosher Bidi Eved, it's only Chumrah.
But he said that the Bidi Eved was only because of the din of the Nosim Tamuf Gan.
Okay, but
it cannot stand the whole Chumrah. Either it is or it isn't.
Okay. All right, we can argue about the words we choose to use. But I think we're arguing about semantics, and in any case, you know, I want to move on a little. Now we can move a little faster. Ready? Yesh mishomer dekapzos suyus bikeren einlem takana ba'agola. Some people say ivory spoons cannot be kashered through a gola. Why? Because since they hot water ruins them, we're afraid you might worry about them and not kasher them properly. What's the chiddush of Machaber? He takes a gzera the Gemara said about Liban and applies to Agala. Just like if you do a kind of Liban which will break something. Just like if you do a kind of Liban that will break something, you're not allowed to because we're afraid you'll cut corners. The same applies to Agala. If something is not microwave safe and dishwasher safe and made to withstand hot water, you're not allowed to do Hagolah because we're afraid you might cut corners. That's the halacha. Of course, now we have much fewer materials that fall into this category. But when they first make plastics, the Mechaz Yitzchak says you can't kasher plastics on Hagolah because they'll melt in the hot water, and then we're afraid you might cut corners. The Machayis Alayhu. By now, there's very few materials left in our kitchens that are not able to withstand hot water. But if you have something, let's say it's not dishwasher safe, right? Meaning it's not able to withstand hot water, then you can't kasher with Hagolah, and even if you say, I'll try Hagolah and see if it gets ruined or not, you're not allowed to, because it's the gzera that you might cut corners.
Plastics nowadays,
like, if you have, like, a cheap Tupperware that's not meant to go into the microwave or dishwasher, but even the cheap Tupperwares nowadays are microwave safe and dishwasher safe. So I don't know if there's any cheap plastics left that cannot withstand Hagolah.
I think things would end up if they can get hot.
What?
The things which were supposed to get hot.
Yeah, obviously. So there's very few materials left nowadays that don't withstand Hagolah. But if you would have one, then you wouldn't be able to even try to do a gola to it, like the ivory in the old days. I don't know, maybe people still have ivory. They'll know what I'm talking about. I never met anyone with ivory. It's not politically correct in any case nowadays.
to have ivory utensils. Ches. Echakli itzechli ebenechli kibatechas din lachshim hagala. Whether metal or wood or stone, you use hagala. Remember, we saw this machlokes about stone. Stone is the chiddush here. We pass like rapaygon, like the middle shita that stone needs hagala. Hagala v'chein kli etzem shir gonna go. Likewise, bone kalim. He doesn't mean bone china. Bone china is a kind of cheres with a few ground up bones. He means things actually carved out of bones need hagala. Not ivory. Ivory is made out of tusks, which are weaker than real bones. Real bones can withstand hagala. Like things you actually make out of, like the femur of a cow or something, which you don't nowadays, but they can withstand hagala. Those are strong. They hold up the cow. Okay, test. Hamagal kodin shahay yachol hagal biyachol kli rishon kli sheni mikhelem shabol devermuah v'eino choshesh. If you do a gala before the fifth hour of Erev Pesach, this is really the topic of Siman Tefillin Beis, you do a gala before the fifth hour of Erev Pesach, then you can put together Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kalim that were below a lot, Kalim that were below a little. You can be magal Kli twice, so you can stick in a Kli once upside down and once right side up, and the middle you'll be magal twice. We don't have to worry, the Bliya from the Kli Rishon will overwhelm and go into the Kli Sheni. The big Bliya will overwhelm and go into the Kli of the small Bliya. You know, if you magal something twice, first the bleed will go out and then it will go back in. You don't have to worry about any of these things. Why don't you have to worry about, even if they're benyomo, why don't you have to worry about any of these things? Because before the fifth hour, chametz is not barnate tera. Not barnate, no, until we call it bata mashishin. Not barnate tera. Since chametz is not barnate tera, therefore, at least according to the Mechaber, but this is really tough and vase, you don't have to worry that it'll make the water come and stick, because the water's enough for not to etera, because until the fifth hour comes is heter. Okay, but really this is the topic of all of tough and vase. You had Salam Shabbat from El Basser. Okay, we're just going to run through, take a few minutes, run through a few more without getting into details. Salam Shabbat from El Basser, Yishon Shechelon Agala. Baskets that you salt meat in, why are they salt meat in baskets? Because remember, you need salt meat in a cleave with holes in it, and baskets are full of holes. So these baskets salt meat in. Some people say they need hagala, and some people disagree with Nirin Dvarav. And the Machaber's Mako. What's the machlokas here? There are 3 days, but we'll only discuss two in the Shulchan Aruch. One day it says, when you salt the meat, you're not careful to prevent chametz from falling in the salt. Maybe when you got salt in a chametz steak meal, a little chametz fell in the salt. And therefore, when you salt the meat, maybe there's a little chametz, and a little chametz was nivla through the malicha into the basket, so you have to kasher it. And the Mechaber says, no, we're not choshesh, lo masakina nisura. We don't have to worry that maybe this happens. We don't. We just put meat and salt. You don't have to worry, says the Rama. V'tov lagil lokas chadashim. It's proper to do agala or buy new ones. Therefore, at least for Ashkenazim, we see from this Rama, it's not just this case. We can expand this Rama. What did the Rama say? It says, anything which you weren't careful to keep Pesach dik, even if you don't know that you kept chametz in it, but you weren't careful about it, you need to do a gala because of chomer de Pesach. And that's what we assume. That's why nowadays, even things that are not chomer stick, we have to kasher or put away for Pesach, because the Rama says it was just salt and meat. But you weren't careful to keep chomets away. Since you weren't careful to keep chomets away, you have to be choshish. There is a tiny drop of chomets and kasher it. And likewise, nowadays, for all of our kitchen utensils that we don't use for chomets, we just use for, we use to store non-chametz, etc. But since we're careful to keep chametz out of them, therefore, you have to kasher them for Pesach.
Can you also be medayik in the Ramah that it's only if it's a kli that you used with heat?
Correct. Or salting, in this case, which is equivalent. Correct, if you only use it cold. But problem is, in our modern-day kitchens, even if we only use things cold, we wash them with hot water in chametz stick sink, with chametz stick sponges, with chametz stick food, etc. So the mice, it would all end up being the same. If you had your cod that you use for the milk, you know? But so you wash it in the sink made with chametz, so therefore, we would say, maybe we have to be choshes. That's not so pasha, because we don't even put hot food in it afterwards. Okay, but maybe something a little less chametz. Your salt shakers, right? You're not careful what goes on your salt shaker. Maybe a little hot chametz spilled on them. Therefore, we capture them or buy new salt shakers for Pesach, which is what everyone does. Everyone gets new everything for Pesach. Why? Because of this Ramah. Even if you don't think you use it for chametz, we're choshesh, you never know. Yudal, machmash metagdim, ba muteris. A frying pan that you fry in, muteris ba'gola. Remember, we saw this, we already discussed it in Kuf Kaf Aleph, that for treif the Mechaber said, liban, but for Pesach, ha'gola is good enough for svargim. Bimi aruka, what if it's very long? Remember, unlike tefillas kelim, where you have to total the whole kli at once, or tefillas people, or anything else, you have to total the whole person at once, ha'gola you can do part at a time. V'niyaruka meisim chetzi, you have a whole pevoda meisim chetzi acher. If it's long, you put in half, then you turn it upside down, put in the other half. Right? If it's, obviously, if it's more than twice as long as your pot, it's not going to help, because you have to get the middle of it. But if it's only 1.99 times as long as your pot, you stick in one half, turn it over, stick in the other half, and then you can kosher it that way. So what if it's so long that your pot is 10 inches tall? And the machnas is 21 inches. So you can put in the pot in 10 inches, the top 10 inches. What about the inch in the middle? You have to leave ones in the middle if you, or get a bigger hagdolah pot. And since this libun is instead of hagdolah, even a libun kal of kashnisrof is good enough. Now the Rabban, v'yesh machmir l'avin machmas. Some people are machmir, Ashkenazim are machmir, even for Pesach, the frying pan needs libun. However, Ashkenazim assume, no, we're only machmir. Me'ikaradin, we agree with the Sfaradin, that Hagol is good enough for Pesach. It's only where machmir to require libun. Since we're only machmir to require libun, then libun kal would be good enough. The Mishnah Brura quotes that the Prichadosh thinks me'ikaradin you need libun, and therefore you need libun chomer. However, most poskim agree that it's only a chumer to require libun, therefore libun kal would be good enough. And nobody loved him. What?
The hands
will
need
hagol. The handle only needs hagol. The nogin lavno lechachila. The minig is lechachila to do libun. Mehu sagi le v'hagolamein bogumos. However, really hagol would be good enough if it had no crevices. Says the Mishnah Berurah. He says. Doesn't mean Hagol is good enough. He means, theoretically, I'll be strict in Hagol is good enough, but the minhag Ashkenaz l'achil to do libun, and you have to follow the minhag. It's not optional for Ashkenaz, it's required. So it's required for Ashkenazim to follow the chumrah of the Ramah l'achila as the minhag of the Ashkenazim and do libun. But since it's only a chumrah l'achila, and really I'll be strict in Hagol would have been good enough, we're just machmir, then libun kal is good enough. So if you want to kasher frying for Pesach, you could kasher it with libun kal. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out that nowadays there's a reason to be a little more machmer sometimes, because there are two reasons to be more machmer on a frying pan. A, the Prichadosh holds, al pi ikra din it needs libun. Okay, even though not everyone agrees with them, it's a shita. But B, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's only if you fry with a significant amount of oil. If you only have this tiniest shmir, that counts as baking, not frying. And nowadays, sometimes people spritz a little pan and fry without actually putting in a real oil. And therefore, since sometimes people only spritz with pan and they don't always put in oil, it could be that our frying pans aren't really frying pans. They're really baking pans. And therefore, nowadays, we try to be machmir and, as a general rule, require libun chomer, more machmir than the Ramah for frying pans. However, you have to look at each situation. A, to be yotzei the Prichadosh, even though we don't have to. And B, because sometimes people use their frying pans and they don't really put in a nice dollop of oil. They just spray some pan. You know what that is, that baking frying spray? And the Mishnah Berurah says the tiniest schmear doesn't count. It has to be a real mamushus of oil. Because the tiniest schmear, even on barbecue, sometimes people schmear a little. No, on baking tree, sometimes people schmear a little. You spray pan on your baking tray. That's still baking, because you don't see the oil. So therefore, he says that therefore, because of this Ha'ara, the Mishnah Berurah, it's better to be machmir at frying pans, but if you know exactly how a frying pan was used, then you could be makel. Okay, I see it's already a little late. Yeah, pages-wise, there's a lot of pages left, but I must admit that the rest of it goes a little quicker. So I think we decided that we would continue tomorrow. So we'll continue tomorrow. Maybe we'll just like do the highlights of the rest of Tafdan Aleph and Tafdan Beis, the parts that are halacha l'maisa, like the parts that aren't halacha l'maisa, maybe we'll just give brief mention to, and then we will have 2 weeks of Chazara till the 15th, which is the Bechena.